This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Let's rock and roll with another hour of What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains, brought to you this hour by our friends at Oasis Petroleum. Oasis Petroleum. That's right. Oasis, of course, has it be the buffalo spirit. Be the buffalo. With North Dakotans, do they go into the storm, just like the buffalo. And Heritage is no accident. And, of course, Oasis Petroleum, now one of the top producers in North Dakota, in the Bakken, battling through that storm as well, celebrating other North Dakotans that are doing the same. We love it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can nominate someone. Give them a shout-out. Say thanks at 855-200-1776. If this whole Kobe Bryant thing has done anything for me, it's... said, you know, when you see something, we got to say something. When we see people doing great things, by golly, we got to, let's do something about it. Let's say something about it. Let's be serious about that. Saw during the break, there was a breaking news report out of Afghanistan that a plane has gone down with five of our troops aboard. So these things happen. They do. And, just trying to keep it all in perspective. All right, so Senator John Hovind at the bottom of the hour, and of course we'll also have Chris Berg from Point of View coming up before the end of the hour, talk about all the things that are on the docket for news here. We're going to start with a conversation with Kenny Grainer. Kenny's a rancher, and is someone I asked him on to talk a little bit about some of these trade deals and just overall how the beef producers are doing right now in this environment. And what's happening? We hear a lot about the Packers. We hear a lot about how country of origin labeling would help. We hear about things we could do in the trade deals that we're not doing. So I just want to learn a little bit. And others have suggested that we have Kenny on, and I thought that might be just a great idea. Kenny, nice to have you with us. And what's on your mind? How are you doing?
Yes, thank you, and good morning to you too, as well, Scott. Yeah, you know, USMCA has been a really hot topic. We've got or had a lot of conversation in the press, in meetings and stuff. And what is USMCA actually going to do for the cattle producer here within the state of North Dakota, as well as the cattle producers throughout the United States? Now, what we had always pushed for to look at in this new trade deal with Canada and Mexico is the fact that our product is perishable, cyclical. It's perishable and cyclical. So that's why we always went inside the numbers and looked at imports. You know, you go back in history, before we had trade agreements with Canada and Mexico, we were running a surplus in trade with the countries.
Help me understand now, help me understand the designation of perishable, and what was the other one you said?
Perishable and cyclical, meaning okay. that our product is perishable. When a live animal is ready for harvest, you can't sit on that animal. You have to sell it.
And does the designations of those two things mean anything as it relates to the USMCA?
Yes, that's what we were trying to get negotiated into this new trade deal. Under the there was a Priorities and Accountability Act that was created in 2015 that would address that. And, of course, that's what we were pursuing in this new trade deal, that we deal with that in this new trade deal. Now, USDA analysts have come out and said that if you have a 1% increase in supply, it'll affect or impact the price by 1.5% to 2%. So over the period of NAFTA, we've increased that by 4.5%, which affects our price by 6 to 8%. And in our industry, we work in 4 to 5% margins. So our point going forward with USMCA, we wanted, you know, that addressed. We didn't get that addressed in this new trade deal. So
are you status quo from NAFTA? In other words, nothing changed, and you were hoping there would be a change and an improvement, or is it different than it, in other words, was NAFTA better for you, or is it status quo NAFTA to USMCA?
It's status quo now. So what was currently going on with NAFTA is going to continue to go on here with the new trade deal in our cattle industry. Now, USMCA might be good for manufacturing, other industries, but for our side of our industry, the cattle industry, USMCA brings nothing to better the U.S. cattle producer. Our argument always was, at the end of the day, you know, at the very least, we should have a truthful, transparent label. And that's why the U.S. cattle producers have been pushing, pursuing, and wanting this written into the trade deal. Because at the end of the day, at least if we have a transparent label, it kind of aligns with the new administration on how they're wanting to create more jobs, increase your bottom line. Well, a lot of U.S. cattle producers feel that if their product is differentiated from imports, because we import beef from 19 different countries around the world in significant volumes.
And can you not do that, Kenny? Can you not say we as cattle producers of America are going to put a truthful, transparent label on all of our beef and do it so it's there?
Well, that's what we've been trying for over a decade. I mean, we did have it. Of course, it was short-lived. We lost it in 2015.
When you say lost it, what, I mean, I'm saying, can't you just do it yourself? Can't you as an industry do it?
No, we can't. Basically, it has to be run through USDA. You know, one of the big things, you know, a lot of people argue with us that, well, we don't want a government mandate. Well, guess what? I think we all enjoy and like the fact that we have a government mandate on ethanol. Look what it's done for the corn producer. You know, here you're forcing an oil industry to put 10% ethanol into the gas, bring it to the pump, and clearly define it and label it at the pump that gives the consumer the choice. Our argument's always been that if you give the consumer a choice, have real and transparent labeling, let them decide what they want to buy. And they should have that right to know what they're putting into their body.
But this isn't a universal view of beef producers, is it? I mean, I hear
no,
from...
No, it's not. It's not. We've got groups out there that are adamantly opposed to country of origin labeling. You know, right now, labeling, since they repealed COOL, what's going on now is deceptive labeling. And right now, anything that is brought into the U.S., if it's repackaged, if it's salted, cooked, or even cut, it is allowed to be called product of the U.S. So our definition has been stolen. And the U.S. cattle producer says, you know, that's not right. I mean, if you can simply repackage, repackaging is a significant transformation of a product. Therefore, it can be labeled product of the U.S. Our definition of our label has been stolen. The consumers are being deceived.
And if you were successful in getting this, it was included as a USDA mandate. What does it mean? What do you think ultimately is? Because I've heard some people say, sadly, even if it has a U.S. label, people are going to buy the cheapest. They aren't going to always buy the U.S. But this has supposedly been done in consumer tests. But obviously, you believe this would make a big difference. What would it do?
It would increase demand for U.S.-born, raised, and processed product. And at the end game, if you increase demand for your own product, we should be able to industry and become more profitable at the same time and supply more of that producer born raised product in the U.S. because we truly believe that with all the high standards that are set upon us, you know, in the production side and all of the health standards that are put upon us, that we clearly do have a product that is second to none.
We're talking to Kenny Grainer, a beef producer, and we're going to talk more on the other side of the break. If you have questions or comments, certainly welcome at 701-367-2054. This debate wages on. I'm just trying to learn a little bit more about it and understand all sides of it. I also want to talk just a little bit in general about overall how the business is doing and prices and some of the concerns that are often raised about the Packers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Welcome your calls, questions, and comments as well. Text me, 701-367-2054, or call us at 258-0550.
A trusted energy partner, a leader in the Bakken. That's Hess. A global independent energy company leading the way in oil and gas exploration and production in North Dakota. Working with suppliers, landowners, communities, applying new approaches and innovative technologies for operating safely and efficiently and protecting the environment. Hess. Working hard to make a positive impact on the lives they touch.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family-owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Agriculture feeds the world. Energy shines the light upon it. North Dakota is blessed to have an abundance of both. Wind energy helps keep our electricity reliable and low cost and sends new property tax revenue to 28 North Dakota counties. Landowners benefit from offering their private property as part of wind farms by giving them a steady stream of reliable income on their property for decades. It's a win-win situation. Wind energy and agriculture, a great partnership for North Dakota's future. This message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Need a tough, high-performance baler that's affordable, too? New Holland RF Series fixed chamber round balers from your local Northern Region New Holland dealer make it easy to create quality 4x4 and 4x5 bales. Extra-wide pickups easily handle large swaths and windrows. And a combination of floor rolls and closely spaced slats start bales quickly. Visit your local Northern Region New Holland dealer today and ask about New Holland RF Series round balers. They're the simple, affordable way to make quality bales.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
At this moment on What's on Your Mind, you are going to be aware of some information that should cause you to rush to the telephone. You could be sleeping on the very same sheets as Todd Mitchell. His are lake blue. You know, so think of that. You're hopping into bed and it's just like, oh, oasis. You think summer, lake blue. Wouldn't it be nice? And right now, you buy one set of Giza Dream Sheets, and they're called Giza because it's the Giza region of the Mediterranean that produces the best cotton in the world, and you'll know it the second you slide into these sheets. Those big, deep pockets, too. That's what I love about them. It's so easy to put on. Big, deep pockets in each corner. Piece of cake. Buy one, get one free with my promo code, Scott. Buy one, get one free when you put in Scott. Radio listener special link at MyPillow.com or call 800-506-9028. Trust me, you're going to love these sheets. I love them, too. Back with Kenny Grainer. Kenny's a cattle producer south of Bismarck, Mandan. We're talking today about just how the beef business is doing in general and about some of the recent trade deals. Talked a lot about the USMCA. Somebody's asking on the labeling question, something similar to what I asked you, Kenny, saying, why not just do it yourself? Why not just label made in the USA? You made the point of, hey, they do it for ethanol, they ought to do it for us. But, you know, texter saying, why won't Kenny say why they won't label U.S. beef with made in the USA? I'll let you just answer that.
Well, USDA is in play. USDA has a agency called FSIS, and that is their job is labeling of meat products or even a lot of other products. That you're already paying for USDA. So, and they're in charge of labeling. So why would you not utilize USDA to enforce it?
Texter says it will not increase demand for U.S. meat. If people want to be reasonably sure they are buying U.S. beef, they will buy high choice or prime grades. Places like Mexico and others have very few cattle which will produce these grades. Now Canada will have more that meet the grade because we share so many genetics and nutritional inputs and technologies. Or go to those who are promoting it as people do now, like on your radio show. I think he's referring to Schweitzer's, talks about North Dakota made beef. You know, let the sellers use it as a selling tool, I guess. And you say, Kenny, what?
Well, the product, the U.S. label, is not going to affect any niche market. If anything, it enhances it. Now, we do import a lot of high choice and prime beef into this country as well. And yes, they're accurate in saying it comes out of Canada. But you should still allow that consumer that choice. Because, you know, it keeps coming back to the same mandate we've created on ethanol. You know, I mean, if the consumer doesn't want to buy product in the U.S., they don't have to. They can buy that cheaper brand. There's no doubt about it.
Another texture, different topic. What percentage of the total cattle slaughter do the four major packers control?
They're at about 80% right now and going higher. I think another thing that should be pointed out is being those four major packers are slaughtering that high percentage, they're global, all right? So they're in Canada, they're in Mexico, they're in Australia, they're in New Zealand, they're in Brazil, etc. Now, the other thing that those big four packers utilize is currency. Now, if they're in Australia or they're in Mexico or if they're in Brazil, just look at the currency of the value of their currency compared to the value of the U.S. dollar. And I think you would agree with me, Scott, that the U.S. dollar is considered the gold standard currency. So, with that being said, you take U.S. dollar and you buy beef in Brazil and ship it to the United States, it's a win for them, and then it comes back to perishable and cyclical matter of our commodity. They'll bring it in at times, this cheap product, at times when we're harvesting. And then that pulls down the domestic prices they pay here, which strangles the producers here in
Texas,
the country to grow.
One other text here, and then I'll go to calls. Coming from a cow-calf guy, thank you, Kenny. Keep fighting for cool. You can tell people where their underwear come from, but not their food. Do you think there's a problem? We can't stand alone. We can't stand alone. Keep up the fight. Cool is where it's at. From a listener for you. Let's go to Jamestown and Brian. Question? Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, Scott. Hey, you know, I agree a lot with what Kenny has to say, and I think the biggest thing to get whole deal is that we do have some of the safest and most wholesome beef product for our consumers. But, you know, I just don't agree with the mandatory country of origin of labeling. I'm all for country of origin labeling. Right now we have the means and the mechanisms to do that. Just as you said, private individuals and companies can create their own labels from farm to plate or all kinds of caveats that way to allow the consumers to have that choice. I just think that, you know, obviously, whether you agree or disagree or not, the World Trade Organization, you know, ruled against mandatory of country of origin of labeling. That's why it left. It wasn't because people disliked it or liked it. You know, they're willing to apply up to $1 billion worth of retaliatory tariffs, which would have devastated our industry. You know, the biggest thing about labeling, I guess, and in the product of our product that we produce out here as cow-calf producers is that I just truly feel that we need to give any availability or option we can to our consumers. And there's plenty of programs out there. Like Kenny said, I mean, you know, if he truly feels that, you know, it's going to bring back a lot of dollars for producers out there, make his own label, start his own program, and you can do that. And if consumers want to choose with their dollar, which they do, they'll decide whether country of origin labeling has merit or not.
And Brian is making a point that I have to you as well, Kenny, and I have to say I don't know that I have still a clear answer. I understand the solid arguments on what you're comparing it to and why others ought to do it and how it ought to be done, but can you do what Brian is suggesting? In other words, if you exhaust every opportunity to convince somebody that it should be a label, can you do it yourself?
No, we can't. And let's go back and
You can. I know you can. I've created my own label for beef. There's many producers that do that.
Let's let Kenny answer here, Brian. Go ahead, Kenny.
Well, you can. Look at Scott and Brian. Do you remember how ethanol started? It was gasohol. That was all independent investment and stuff. And, of course, it failed. And then we started getting talk in Congress about supporting the corn growers and looking at a mandate of putting 10% ethanol into gasoline. And look how, you know, government helped the corn grower. You know, U.S. cattle producers don't run to Washington, D.C. and ask for subsidies. We're merely asking for a true, transparent label that could be run through USDA. And here's the other interesting thing. Everybody's saying that there's so much cost involved in this labeling program. FSIS is in charge of food. It's in charge of food safety and inspection. All right. So every grocery store, every restaurant, when they receive a package of meat, there's a barcode on there, and it's traceable. Every time a rancher sells cattle, you fill out an affidavit. Every time a feeder sells slaughter cattle to a packing plant, you sign an affidavit.
Hang on, Kenny, if you would, we're up against the break.
Make 2020 the year you see Scandinavia. The Scandinavia Tour is coming May 10th from Juven Tours and Travel, the premier operator of Scandinavian tours in the Upper Midwest. May 10th through the 23rd, the Scandinavia Tour, very popular. May 25th, the official Norsk Høstfest Norway Tour. May 25th to June 7th. The Norway Luxury Tour 1 is June 1st to June 14th. The 44th annual Norway Luxury Tour 2, July 20th to August 4th is great fun. And the best of Norway is August 10th through August 22nd. There's something for everyone. And the best part about Juven Tours and Travel and their tours of Scandinavia, you don't just see the awesome beauty, the fjords, the waterfalls, the mountains. You meet the people, and their memories last a lifetime. Call Juven Tours and Travel today for more information. Hurry, these tours are filling up. 237-9000. 701-237-9000 or toll free at 800-343-0093.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The FBI says it's assisting in the investigation of the helicopter crash yesterday that claimed the life of NBA legend Kobe Bryant, as well as his 13-year-old daughter and seven others. The National Transportation Safety Board will be the lead agency, while assets from the FBI's evidence response team are helping local authorities process the scene. Meanwhile, other basketball legends are talking about Kobe Bryant. Here, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just wants to say goodbye.
Kobe, my thoughts are with you. Absolutely. Rest in peace, young man.
There's been a fifth case of coronavirus confirmed in the United States, the latest in Arizona, in a student at Arizona State University in Tempe who doesn't live on campus. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We're already into a new year, and according to TransUnion's annual consumer credit forecast, the consumer credit market looks strong. Matt Comos, TransUnion's Vice President of Research and Consulting.
The U.S. consumer is as strong as ever, and we expect more of the same this year. More consumers are securing loans and increasing their balances in a measured way, all while maintaining historically low delinquency rates. Low unemployment rates, continued wage growth, and an overall sound economy are making this positive performance hold true.
Are there trends to watch for this year?
TransUnion's trends to watch are credit card performance staying strong, personal loans stabilizing, auto lenders continuing at a steady pace, and first-time homebuyers leading mortgage activity.
The U.S. consumer credit market has grown every year since the Great Recession in 2009, marking one of the longest economic expansions in U.S. history. There's more at TransUnion.com. That's TransUnion.com.
Before the top of the hour, Senator John Hovind coming up here momentarily. As soon as the senator joins us, we'll switch gears and chat with him about the news of the day there. I may get a question on this issue as well. But I want to follow up on this because we got more calls than we're probably going to have time to get to today. So we'll plan on this, seeing if we can get Kenny back tomorrow and ask all these callers to call in then. You were finishing your answer to Brian in Jamestown. Kenny, anything else you wanted to say there?
Yeah, basically, you know, FSIS is in charge of food safety in this country. So what I was getting at is we're actually tracing the product already currently. And that information is right in front of the consumer, but we're not giving it to them. So, you know, a lot of folks say it's too expensive. We can't afford it. You, the taxpayer, the producer, you're already paying in your taxes USDA to trace all products, because we have to, because of if there's a spoiled product or drugs being used that aren't supposed to be used, they find this and then they have the ability to trace it. So I guess what I'm getting at is mandatory country of origin labeling, it's not expensive. It doesn't have to be.
Well, I look forward to learning more about this. As I say, we'll schedule you again tomorrow and do a follow-up. And I know you want to talk about something that you're looking at in the way of a legislation, the Beef Integrity Act, that would deal with some of this. So we'll get some more details on that tomorrow and invite anybody that wanted to ask you a question today to join us tomorrow on the program. Okay, Kenny?
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yep. Good to talk to you. Appreciate it very much. And I appreciate all the calls and questions and comments on this. And, you know, one thing that I think Kenny acknowledges is the beef community. You know, the cattle producers themselves have different opinions on, you know, what to do about this in light of the fact that the change happened from the previous trade agreement. So in my mind, the start would be to get everybody on the same page, say, hey, we can live with this. And now let's see what we can do to get it done. Senator John Hovind joins us now from Washington. Senator, thanks for the time this morning.
Greetings,
how are you,
Scott? Good.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks very much. You didn't get much of a weekend. Spent a lot of your Saturday sitting there in the well of the U.S. Senate. What was your impressions of the 2 hours answering the 24 hours that you heard on Saturday?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. They laid out the facts clearly. They moved through it. So I thought they did a good job in their opening. And of course, now they'll go today, and I think we'll have a long session today. One of the things can be interesting is to listen to Alan Dershowitz, make the constitutional argument. Obviously, he's somebody that, you know, is a highly respected constitutional scholar and has, you know, really, I think, some very interesting arguments to make. So I think, you know, they're off to a good start. And, you know, I think they're trying to move through it, you know, in a way where they're not repeating, but they're providing, putting forth their case and doing it in a convincing way.
It seemed to me after Saturday, there was sort of a, I don't know, a assumption that, wow, they've answered that pretty good. They're going to do their thing, and you know what? This thing's going to wrap up here after some questions. Not sure witnesses are going to happen. And then right on cue, the New York Times with the, Anita Hill trick comes with a leaked transcript of a John Bolton book that claims that there was some meeting that he was in where the president said, the aid should be held up because of the concerns he had over the corruption in the Ukraine. Has that changed the game at all? What are you hearing about that today?
You know, Scott, we'll see. But, there's been a lot of different versions of this, as you know. And that's why I think you've got to go back to the fact set. The aid was provided to Ukraine. It was on or about September 11th. They had until the end of the month, the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, to do it. So the aid was provided. There was no investigation done by Ukraine, as you know, and President Zelensky said he didn't feel he was pressured to do one. So, I get that there's, different people giving these different accounts, but I think ultimately that's where then you just have to go back to the facts as far as what happened.
It seems crazy to me that, when this is about concern over aid for Ukraine, coincidentally, which two or three of the House impeachment managers voted against, but they're now very concerned that Ukraine needed that aid, needed it badly. They got it. They got it before the deadline that was in the legislation passed by Congress. And there were no investigations. There were no. So left with that fact set, is there anything left in your mind that's impeachable or remove him from office?
Well, the big push, again, I don't feel the House should have impeached. I've been clear on that. But we're doing our constitutional duty, as required by the Constitution, to, listen carefully and allow House managers to make their full case. So we're doing that. We're going through the process. But remember, their big push now is for additional, and this is important, for additional witnesses, for more documents. But remember, in the Senate, we allowed the full House record to be put into evidence. We just agreed to it, let them put it in. And that has many witnesses, and it has thousands of documents. So they're talking about adding more, not, when they say witnesses or documents, they're saying more. And they had every opportunity to do that in the House.
Speaking of which, that's where obviously they're going to use Bolton now. I think that argument was fading away, and now obviously with the Bolton leak in the New York Times, it changes. I mean, I've already heard Mitt Romney saying, hey, Bolton's got to come in for sure. So others are leaning that way. Susan Collins, a statement kind of hinting at that as well. Do you think the Bolton thing will mean you'll end up with enough votes for witnesses?
I don't know. We'll see. And that's why we've got to go through the full process. But remember, I would say so far it seemed to me it was going the other way, that it would be less likely that there'd be witnesses, additional witnesses. But remember, if there are, it's not just going to be, it wouldn't just be witnesses that the Democrat House managers may want. The president would have opportunity to bring in witnesses as well, if it goes that way.
And do you think the Biden family should be included in that list?
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be an interesting contrast there. By the way, I didn't know this, but I heard this weekend that all of the witnesses that testified in the House are in the record, as you say now, in the Senate. So you have that. Those are witnesses. But one of them is not, and it's the Inspector General of the intelligence apparatus who testified to the fact that the quote-unquote whistleblower wasn't really a whistleblower because he didn't have first-hand knowledge of the call, and also that there were some bias concerns about him. And so far, they're getting by with keeping that secret. Shouldn't that be entered into the record in the Senate, too?
Well, and it may be the House, the administration's managers brought that up. They talked about, look, as far as, quote, additional witnesses, recognize the whistleblower, the Bidens. There's any number of folks that would have to be part of that if you go down that trail. But again, the House had the opportunity to make that case for additional witnesses or to bring them in, to go through the judicial process to get them. They didn't do it. But yes, those are the kind of things that may be included either in the testimony or the presentation given by the administration's managers as we go through the next couple of days. That could come up in the questions. Remember, we're going to have several days of questions So we'll see if it comes up even before you get to the question of whether there's any additional witnesses.
Couple other things we'll go through here. For one, I see you had some visitors on Friday from North Dakota. Once again, North Dakota proudly,
absolutely awesome.
Yeah, proudly sending some youngsters to the March for Life, and they were on the steps of the Senate. That was cool.
It was fantastic. I had a big group from Shanley. I know. Do you still have kids at Shanley?
A junior, yeah, our daughter, yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Just a great group, and of course the other schools too. And you know, North Dakota is always a strong part of the March for Life, and it is just wonderful to see these young people. They make such a difference. They just, you know, give you energy and enthusiasm. So proud of them. I'm just so proud of them. I just can't tell you. They were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And of course, they got to see the president. So how about that? First time in 47 years the president's ever addressed live.
And you should have seen the people. I mean, the people going down, you know, Constitution Avenue there. I mean, it was. I mean, and then coming back too. It's just a joyous feeling seeing so many young people enthused and involved and making a difference.
A couple of things. This coronavirus continues to go up in levels of concern. In many places, I know you had a briefing from the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, as well as the U.S. State Department. How worried should we be about this?
Well, I don't know that people should worry about it. I mean, obviously, like anything else, you know, be informed, be aware, and then just use good judgment. I wouldn't put it in the category that they should worry about it. And essentially, we had an excellent briefing. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. I lose track of the days. But and it was not only it was NIH, CDC, it was the Department of State, Department of Homeland Security. So we had all the players there, and it's kind of this three-level approach, and I think it's important for people to understand. So you got Wuhan province where, you know, they're restricting travel in and out of there in order to prevent the spread of the disease and the virus. And that's smart. That's good. They're working with the Chinese government to do that. That's very important. So that's kind of level one. Then level two is screening our airports. And as you know, there's been 5 reported cases in about 4 states, I think. But in at least one of those cases, I thought this was encouraging. The person that they detected was asymptomatic. And the reason they got him is because they not only are screening the airports, which is, you know, the second level, then the third level is they're disseminating information to all of the healthcare providers. That's the third level. And because they're getting that information out to all these healthcare providers, the way they found this individual was when he came in reporting, he or she came in reporting symptoms, okay, they actually determined that it was the coronavirus, not something else that the individual thought they had. That's a good sign when they're catching it from somebody who wasn't symptomatic. And then the individual became symptomatic right thereafter. So, again, that shows that they're trying to be very comprehensive in how they approach it.
Do your level of confidence when you sit down with CDC, NIH, and State Department on a, you know, concern of, in this case, a virus outbreak in China, do you have comfort in the fact that they have this and they have a good apparatus to be ahead of this?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I was much more encouraged coming out of that briefing than I was going in. Now, again, it's a concern. It's serious. We need to treat it accordingly. But I don't think people should worry. I think they should recognize what we are all doing, and they have the whole healthcare community involved now, and then just be informed on it.
How are you doing for time, by the way? Do you have time to stick through the break with us, or do you need to jet?
Yeah, no, we're fine.
Okay. We'll take a break when we come back. I want to ask you a little bit about just kind of how things are coming along on the ag front, and also we just chatted with Kenny Grainer a little bit about something we're hearing about, some disappointment that the USMCA did not include some help from beef producers.
Yeah, absolutely.
From NAFTA.
Talk about that.
We'll chat when we come back on What's on Your Mind with Senator John Hoeven today from the nation's capital. More after this. Don't go away.
Hi, Lacey here from Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Rumor has it, we don't work during the winter. Not true. Fact is, lack of moisture is a big cause of foundation damage. If your doors and windows won't open or close properly, perhaps the drywall around them is cracking, there's a good chance that you have a foundation problem. Don't wait till spring.
Call us today at 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount. Precision Concrete Cutters will help you get a jump on spring.
Come and experience genuine North Dakota hospitality. at New Leaf Hospitality Hotel, offering 7 prime locations in western North Dakota. The Hawthorne Suites in Minot, Mainstay Suites in Stanley and Tioga, the Teddy's Residential Suites and Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Newtown and Watford City, home of the prime rib specials every Friday and Saturday night. For more information and to book your next day, please visit NewLeafHospitality.com. NewLeafHospitality.com. You're going to love it.
We're Tioga Chamber of Commerce, and we want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota, for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. Tioga's average yearly household income of over $73,000 a year supports nearly 140 area businesses. Tioga's a driver and innovator in local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, electronics, and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Tioga's an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Robot Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, and Pumpkin Festival. Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. We want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dream. If you're looking for great opportunities, please visit us in Tioga and experience a great point of view. Or for more information, visit TiogaND.org.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Must really like this song because he's waiting to tell us about Schwann to jam to the
song. Oh, I was telling you, and then I had a button that wasn't pushed.
Push that button, by
Larry,
golly, right?
Leave my buttons alone over here.
Yeah.
0% APR, 72 months, most new 2020 Buicks and GMCs. There are some 2019s left. Ask for the Todd Mitchell special. I don't know what happens when you do that, but try it. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
I heard fireworks is in the mix. That's all I know. So just take your passport, and it could be some fun. More with Senator John Hoeven. We just finished a conversation with Kenny Grainer, and we hear from a lot of beef producers on this program. We love our, you know, farmers, ranchers, and they're wonderful. And, of course, we've been touting USMCA and everything there. And I got a little pushback from some cattle producers say, yeah, well, thanks a lot. We don't have anything in there. And they've explained that, you know, their status quo from NAFTA, they wanted some help. And I know you worked on getting it in there, couldn't get it in there. But do you think they have a point that if they have labeling and they have it mandated, I know it worked for a while and it was taken off because of the dispute in the, was it WTO?
Yeah, exactly. The Canadians won the case in the WTO.
And so that enabled them to put duties on our beef if we continue with cool country of origin labeling. And, yeah, and, you know, Kenny Grainer and the crew, matter of fact, I met with them not that long ago. I banned our calf. And, you know, there's multiple cattlemen associations. Then you got Stockman's, National Cattlemen's Beef and so forth. But I met with them. I definitely agree that we need to get them some help. The labeling thing's important. We tried to get that in, as you say, in USMCA, and which by the way, I'll be up Wednesday at what else we'll be signing that up. And I'd met with a cattleman before that and said I'd, you know, certainly try to get it in there. We weren't able to do that. But I continued to work on this, and I'd been working with Greg Ibach, who is, of course, he's from, in North Dakota, we pronounce it Ibach. He's from Nebraska. He's actually a cattleman. But he's USDA's point man on beef. It's spelled like Ibach, but he pronounces it Ibach. But he's the deputy secretary in charge of this stuff. And, you know, they are doing a number of things, and I'm trying to stay on them to help our cattlemen, and we can kind of run through those if you want.
Yeah, I mean, so your take is that they're right. They need, for one, they talk about prices. They talk about, you know, the fact you got a small number of the packers controlling the market. And then, of course, you know, some believe that the labeling would help the situation as well. The main thing is they're hurting, right, because of the bottom line. Prices dropped here again recently. So you're in agreement, it sounds like to me. They need help.
I am.
Find a way.
Right. Well, the two big points are competition and transparency. Competition and transparency. And the problem with competition is you got about, you know, three or four packers that control the whole market. So you have all this concentration. And then transparency and pricing so that these, you know, any cattleman that operates independently doesn't have maybe a contract for sale to, you know, with one of the big packers, that they can see, you know, how the pricing, you know, is fair and where the competition is, and so they can market their cattle and be treated fairly. And so that's one of the things that USDA is looking into right now, is they're doing a market pricing evaluation to try to determine, you know, how do we improve transparency. And I've emphasized to Secretary Ibach, look, that has to actually have something to it. It can't just be another report. You know, that actually has to have some kind of teeth to it to help, you know, get more transparency and hopefully improve competition so these independent cattlemen can get better deals. So they are doing that investigation. We'll see what they turn up. I've tried to impress upon them it's got to be done in a fair way that actually helps these cattlemen. We're also working on the dealer trust issue, which is important to them. Some of the GPSA rule stuff to prevent undue preferences. The labeling issue. What I've tried to get across to iBuy is, look, you got to come up with stuff that's actually going to move the needle here and help these guys.
Just in general, I know that obviously great news that the USMCA is finally done after a year of political delay on behalf of Nancy Pelosi, which was super unfortunate, especially given everything that was going on in farm country. But I know you've been working a lot on all of the issues with the disaster payments with MFP. Now we've got a disaster declaration. Give me your overall sense in a minute or so here of, you know, where producers, farmers, and ranchers are at now. Is every tool that we possibly could use out there now, or is there more to do?
Yeah, I think we're going to get it trending back the right way. It's tough because of prices and because of weather. So you've got the Farm Bill countercyclical piece. You've got the disaster aid, which we've talked about, where we got them additional money. Now we're working to get it out in the right way. We've got the market facilitation payment. I've talked to Sonny Perdue to get the final part of that rolling and out to our producers. And then the real solution are these trade agreements. And remember, it's not just the USMCA. We got the Japan deal, which is very good for beef. We got the EU deal, which will triple the amount of beef we can sell to the European Union. In China, this phase one trade deal, we knocked down some of these non-tariff barriers that are holding up beef sales. That should help. USMCA will sign up. So the real solution, of course, is getting access to markets so that our farmers and ranchers can sell their crops and their livestock.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to tell us?
Yeah, we have the best farmers and ranchers in the world. The highest quality, lowest cost food supply that benefits every American every day, thanks to our farmers and ranchers.
Don't we ever. And I thought you were going to say, and the bison are going back to the White House. So,
oh,
you know.
Baby, yeah, bison back to the White House. Matter of fact, we're working on some logistics there, and Kevin popped something out, which is great. But yeah, we're setting her up again, and I suppose there's some radio personalities who may have to come back again as well to cover it.
Got to cover it. Got to bring everybody from North Dakota along. Absolutely.
Yeah, so then the only other thing to say is go Bison.
That's right, and remind the president the best talk show in North Dakota. So we'll chat again. Senator, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Got to
preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going to stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350350. That's DO88 to 350350 to schedule your free consultation today.